Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good Monday morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, is how we're going to begin the week. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael, and Shemaroth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obadiah. And Jael with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaniah also, and Jehaziel the priest, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then, verse 7, on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand and among the people, in the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Here's what he said in verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Listen to that. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he proved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together. Deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. You know, when the Ark of the Covenant is in its rightful place, the earth will rejoice. The people will be glad. And the day is coming for all of God's children had deal faithfully with the Lord, that believe in the Lord, that honor the Lord, that live for the Lord, and are willing to die for the Lord. The day is coming that the whole earth will rejoice for the glory of the Lord. Now we live in a world that is groaning and travailing under the pangs of corruption and defilement. We understand this clearly, but the time is coming that we will once again see the ark in its rightful place. We will see the Messiah in his kingship, in his authority, in his glory. We will see every promise of God fulfilled upon this earth, a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And we, the people of God, will rejoice. I want to be there on that day. How about you? I want to be on that day called the Millennial Day, a 1,000-year day, not a 24-hour day, but a 1,000-year day. For one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And I want to spend a few minutes this morning. I want to share with you how we got where we are. And I'm speaking personally. When I read that, it confirmed what God put in my spirit this morning to share with somebody, maybe one person, I don't know. But I want to share it with you, the journey that has brought us to where we are today. And I asked the Holy Spirit to really minister his grace, because that psalm said, declare the good works of God. Tell the people that what God has done. 38 years ago, coming up this coming spring, so we're 37 and a half years, whatever it is, but right around, let's say 37 years ago, I was a 19-year-old young man, and the first 19 years of my life prior to this moment, and there's a reason to tell you this, this has to be said because of what things are becoming, and I hope it ministers again, but 37 years ago, I was walking on the earth, and my first 19 years were absolutely crazy. I was born into a home with a family that really had no roots and no stability, and I'll leave it at that. And we traveled all over, and I went to about 15 different elementary schools in several different states, predominantly California to New Jersey. I kept going back and forth with my family. And growing up, I went to 7 different high schools, and I never graduated high school. I got a GED, and I went into a military branch of our government and stayed there for a short spell and came out not knowing what to do with my life, and I had no direction, and I got involved in a lot of stuff, and I did a lot of stuff. By the time I was 19, I had already hitchhiked across the United States of America. I had been in and out of Las Vegas, and you know the lifestyles that are lived there, and I'd just done a lot of different things. And at the age of 19, I was living in San Diego in a place called Rancho Bernardo with my Uncle Frank and my Aunt Karen. And I had never been to San Diego before, but my Uncle Bill, these are my dad's brothers, Uncle Bill, Uncle Frank, Uncle Tommy. Uncle Bill was a drill instructor for the United States Marine Corps. He was a tough guy. Uncle Tommy was in the Air Force. Uncle Frank, he was a businessman. And the three of them came together in the 1980s, and they started a business. It was a headhunting business. It was an executive search firm. It was called Bill Miller and Associates. And they started this business, and they made millions of dollars. They succeeded wildly. And they had a little placard with my name on it down in La Jolla where I was supposed to join the firm and become part of the company business. And I rejected that. I just had zero desire to get involved in that, and so I did my own thing. Well, it was at that time when I was in San Diego that I met a family. And the family that I met, their son, had something. And I would hang out with their son, and a man did I love and appreciate this young guy. He was Italian. He was from Chicago. I was Italian. I was from New Jersey. And we started hanging out, doing a lot of different things together. And I remember playing tennis with him. And I noted that there was just something different about him. I'm running around the tennis courts, and I'm a pure heathen. Coming from a Catholic background, by the way, believing that the Pope had me covered and I was a good guy and I was on my way to heaven, but living like the devil, right? And anyways, I noticed something about him, and I watched for a while, and eventually I asked him one day, I said, you know, what is it about you? You know, there's something different about you. And he said, well, I have faith in Jesus Christ. And I lifted up both my hands and I said, stop, stop. I don't want to hear anything about religion. And he said, well, what I'm sharing with you is not religion. It's about my faith in a personal relationship. And I said, okay, that's enough. And we're done. And we were done. However, I couldn't stay away from him. There was something about him that I was attracted to. And it wasn't physical, obviously. It was something about his life, something that he possessed, something inward. And so everywhere he went, we hung out together. We went to the beach. He went to church. They'd pick me up on a Sunday morning, and I'd go to the church. And I remember sitting in the church, just looking dead on, wanting that pastor to look at me so I could show him how disapproving I was. And this whole thing was a religious hypocrisy, and it was all about money and all that. And I didn't have any money to give them, so I don't know where my brain was at the time. But anyways, I had all these preconceived ideas. But I wanted to be with him. And after church, we'd fly down to the beach and we'd go to just do everything. And there was a number of guys that were getting together at that time. And one day, I was going through, so it was like 2 or 3 months later down the road, still 19 years old. And I was going to Palomar College. My Uncle Frank put me in college, and I was, you know, I had this beautiful, beautiful home to live in. And it was just, you know, my Uncle Frank had a Chris Croft yacht, 30 something footer, and it was out on the oceans in California. And I was enjoying, and as I was hanging alongside of, this lifestyle, and, I was still doing my thing. And, that was what any 19-year-old guy was doing at those days. But the point is, a night came, and it was off of a weekend. I'd gone out for the weekend, and I'd done some things that probably were very normal for 19-year-olds to do. But Tuesday came around, and my Aunt Karen took me to a Bible study at the church. It was the Escondido Faith Center. And I just went. And this young girl, probably 10 years old, super long blonde hair, beautiful young 10-year-old girl, was up on the stage, and she began to sing. And everybody in the Bible study was appreciating that. But me, I sunk down on the floor and was bawling my eyes out. I was sobbing. And how did I get there? How did I get to that Bible study that day where I heard the voice of God? I was home in Rancho Bernardo off of Rimstone Lane, and I was in my bedroom upstairs, and I encountered something that I'd never felt before. And again, 15 different elementary schools, 7 different high schools. I've traveled and hitchhiked all over the country. You could do that in those days. I partied everywhere somebody could party. And I was involved in a lot of different things. And that particular night in my bedroom, this is where the story for me begins. I was in a wrestling match because that particular night, I wanted to commit suicide. I was 19 years old, and I felt the vacuum in my soul. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know what I was feeling at the moment, but I had zero purpose for life. A year earlier, when I was 18, I was in Long Island, New York, with a friend from Long Island. I used to actually live in Long Island, New York, Franklin Square, for a short time, and there's a whole story behind that. But I went on a trip, a river rafting trip in Pennsylvania with some friends, and I'll never forget this guy looked at me when I was 18. He said, you know, my name was Vinny back then, right, from New Jersey. And he said, you know, Vinny, you're a square going nowhere. You have no direction for your life. This guy was a businessman at the time, and he was the older brother of a young lady that I had been with. And he said, you have nothing. You have no direction. You're not going to college. You have nothing. You're a square going nowhere. That was a year earlier. So now I'm a year later, 19, in the bedroom. And I'm thinking, what's the point of living? I mean, I wasn't suicidal crazy. I was just, what is the point of living? I've done so much. I've been so many places. I mean, I've experienced so many things. And I'm now feeling this emptiness. I never felt it before. I always filled that void with something. I always had something. And for several months, people were trying to get me into, and they were telling me about God's love for me. They were telling me that Jesus loved me, that God had a plan for my life. The woman that I'm married to now told me way back then, 37 years ago, that God's going to write his word upon the tablets of your heart, that God has a plan for your life. He wants to live in your heart. And when I heard that God had a plan for my life, that always perked up my ear, because a year earlier, I was being told I was a square going nowhere. So I'm in my bedroom this particular night in San Diego, and there were two forces at work. I had been going to church, even though I didn't like it, but I've been meeting some pretty neat people. And I've been around my friend who I just couldn't get away from them, the magnetism of what was in him. And I wanted to know what that was. He told me it was Jesus, but I didn't want to go there. But there was something else in him. And that particular night, I wrestled. And there were forces in my mind saying, what's the point? And there were the words of these people that had been telling me, God loves you. He wants to live in your heart. Invite Jesus into your life. He's got a plan for you. And so I had this battle, and I finally spoke in my bedroom out loud, and I said, Father God, I believe in you. I've always believed in God, even when I was a little boy. I believe in God. But these people are telling me that Jesus loves me, and he wants to live in my heart, and he has a plan for my life. I said, if this is true, then I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my heart. But if you are a fable, if you are a fairy tale, if you are something to make me feel good, in my family, we used to call it a religious crutch. I said, if you're just a religious crutch, I want nothing to do with you. But if it's true that you want to live in my heart, then I'm asking you right now, please come into my heart. And at that very moment, I went into the fetal position on the floor and had an experience for nearly 45 minutes that I can to this day cannot explain, except it was a combination of sobbing, weeping, wailing, deep inner something was going on inside of me. And I was just pouring out. I was pouring out my heart. And it was like some inward thing that I never had prior to this moment. And it went deep. I don't even know what word to describe to it. But I came away with the idea that what I felt like what was going on is that at that moment, the God of all creation picked me up and took me into his arms and sat me on his lap and began to squeeze all the hurt, all the poison, all the pain out of my life. And angels on either side were pouring golden oil on me. That's the only description I could ever give to that moment. Well, so powerful of an impression was made to me that night that when that experience was over, I literally crawled into my bed off the floor. I don't know what just happened to me. I crawled into bed, and the moment my head hit that pillow, it was the next day. And that was, I remember going on the floor around 8 o'clock in the evening. So I went and I hit that pillow, and the moment I hit the pillow, the next day came. In other words, I must have slept like Adam when he put him to sleep to pull a rib out. I went into such deep sleep, boom. I woke up the next morning, and something very strange happened. I wasn't thinking about anything. The strange thing was there was nothing. Normally, I wake up in the morning, I got these thoughts in my head, I want to take out a cigarette, I want to smoke a cigarette, I'm wondering what's going on, is there anybody behind me, what's happening here? My head is always filled with this tension and confusion, and my life, because of the way it had been, was just always on the move, always had to be somewhere, think about doing something. But this morning, there was nothing, nothing. And I casually, cautiously got out of my bed. And I opened my bedroom door, and I began to walk downstairs, and I noted all the sunlight, you know, that San Diego sunshine in the 1980s with the blue skies. Oh, my gosh. Well, the sun was bursting through the windows, and nobody was at the house, obviously. Uncle Frank, Aunt Karen, the kids, they all went. And so I'm walking carefully down the stairwell, and I come to the front door. I open it. I walk outside. I start walking down the walkway, and the hedges on either side of me with the flowers. It was springtime, and they were so vibrant. They looked like they were breathing. The colors were just absolutely brilliant. And this is what I saw. And as I looked at it, I go, oh my God, look at the colors. And I looked up into the sky, and it was more blue than I had ever seen before. And I saw the yellow sun, like droplets of yellow. They were absolutely amazing. I saw the sun, I saw the sky, I saw the flowers, the greenery, and everything had life. I saw birds and butterflies. I was waiting for Bambi to come out. I think I was thinking, man, did I take some drugs last night? Did I take a hit of mescaline or something? What is this? But I that's just an afterthought, but I just couldn't believe what was happening outside. And all of a sudden, I realized what my friend had. That I'd been wanting to know. I mean, Jesus was kind of, you know, and I don't want to go there. I don't even understand that. But all of a sudden, standing there that day, I had peace. For the first time in my life, I had peace. And all of a sudden, something happened to me. I started getting happy. I got so happy that I ran inside. The Bible they had given me months ago that I never picked up, because a good Catholic boy never reads his Bible. It's Greek to me. I started reading, and I was like a man that had been in the desert for 40 days. Who knows? And I was so thirsty. I started drinking the Word of God into me, reading, reading, reading. Then I got more excited, and I called Patricia, who back then was telling me that God was going to write his words upon my heart and that he loved me, had a plan for my life. I got on the phone and I called and I said, listen, it happened. I asked Jesus into my life last night and I'm having this incredible experience in there. Hallelujah. And my Aunt Sonia got wind of it. And all of a sudden, everywhere I'm going, restaurants, football games, I'm telling people about Jesus. It didn't happen for me in a church. It didn't happen for me by some man telling me what I could do or couldn't do. It happened in my bedroom.
And I believe that God gave me something, because if man would have given it to me, he could have taken away from me. If man could have led me into an experience, he could have taken that experience away from me. It was not my imagination trying to force some experience. I didn't have the wherewithal to do anything like that. It was God making an impression in my life. And the journey from that moment has been the most amazing thing in the world. Here's a guy, went to 15 different elementary schools, 7 different high schools, never graduated, had nothing going for me, nothing. And then I just started going through the process, man. I was on the honeymoon. I got baptized. I was baptized in water at the church, and I had friendships, and it was so unusual. I wasn't going to college. I wasn't going to school. I was basically done with all of that. So I got little jobs here and there, and I started waiting tables. And then I went through a spell of 5 years. 5 years. I went through a living hell, a nightmare. You would have thought, wow, what a beautiful story. He got born again. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God sealed his heart, just like was said. The Word of God became tablets upon my heart. I could quote that word inside and out. I knew every address. It was absolutely miraculous. To a guy that never studied, never liked school, I picked up that Bible, and it literally became tablets upon my heart, like it was prophesied. And you'd have thought, man, he went to college and he got an education and he went to seminary and he got a degree and he must have been a pastor in some denomination. No, it was totally the opposite. After the honeymoon, I was confronted with my lower nature, and I was confronted with generational bloodline curses. And this brings me back to what I was saying about that Tuesday night going to church where the little girl with the blonde hair was singing and I fell on the floor. Well, what had happened after this experience of being born again and things were going good, I was still a 19-year-old young man, and I was not, and again, I say this so carefully, but I had no understanding at that moment that it was wrong for me to go out and have a woman and fornicate. And over the weekend, that's exactly what I did. I went to the store and met these gals. They had a party. They took me there. I partied, blah, blah, blah. And now Tuesday night, I go to church. This little girl is singing. And all of a sudden, I'm under what now I know is conviction. I didn't know it then, but I am broken. I am grieving. I have liquid coming out of my nose, my eyes, my mouth. I am slobbering in total brokenness. I am so broken, and I don't even understand it. But at that moment of my brokenness, I hear in my spirit what I now understand to be God saying to me, Vincent, I want you to tell people who call themselves by my name not to sin, and tell them that I will never accept the 99.9 offering. I want all. I heard that in my spirit, and I kind of opened my eyes and I said, my God, who just talked to me? And I was so excited. I went to who wasn't my pastor then, but became my pastor, R. Paul Carroll, and I told him this experience that we don't have to sin. And I didn't realize that I was so broken over the sin I committed. And he began to rejoice with me, and you know, he consoled me, he comforted me in my stupidity, my youthfulness, and all that. But he just kind of said, you know what? I believe that too. I don't believe we have to sin either. And you know what I did? My uncle Frank and Aunt Karen. Aunt Karen had her family lived in Victorville, California, going out towards Barstow, and they had this land by Bell Mountain, and they had these little RVs. So I decided that I was going to go and search and seek the Lord with my Bible and stay in the wilderness, and I did. They opened up an RV to me. They had a little white church. I preached in that church, Romans chapter 6. I'll never forget it. I'm preaching Romans 6. We do not have to sin. And I studied the Bible, and I realized from Genesis to Revelation that God has a message in here about not having to sin, and that's my direction and focus. But unfortunately, I did this during Thanksgiving, and I was going on this long fast, but I broke the fast, and I ate, and then condemnation hit me like crazy. And then all of a sudden, every ounce of sin that was inside of me began to manifest, and before you know it, I went on that 5-year nightmare of up and down and in and out. And I struggled and I backslid and I went back and I got involved. And the drug addiction became worse than it ever had before. I started using this, that, and the other thing and everything you could imagine. And I was out there again and I was traveling around again. But this time I knew God's word. And because I knew God's word, I didn't know that I was messing up. I knew I was, and the condemnation got worse and worse and worse, and I began to afflict myself with these are demonic spirits that were warring against me, trying to kill me, until the day finally came that I could not walk across a room. My mind was obliterated. I was talking to people, and in halfway through conversation, I could not remember what we were talking about and would just have to walk away. I was absolutely drug addicted. My body was broken. I was a young guy around 23 at this point, 24, whatever it was, and I'm going through this nightmare. And yet I know I could quote the Bible. And it was at that time, right about the age of 24, that I made a phone call to the man that became my pastor, and I explained my condition. I was living in Los Angeles, California, in Pasadena. I was working at a little place, but I was messed up. I was just messed up. But I was young enough to be able to handle it. I could still go out and do my thing. And long story short, I was welcomed down in San Diego to go live with a brother who lived in La Jolla, California, that had a little house. And in the midst of all of this, I had gotten married to a young lady and we had a baby. And I came home one day when I was trying to get things right, and they were gone. And day by day, they were gone. And I wound up not seeing them for 3.5 years. And that drove me over the edge into deeper stuff than I don't even want to talk about at this point. Dark, dark, evil, demonic stuff. Satan had me. He had me. And but here I am now going down. And Paul Carroll, who became my pastor that day, was driving me down from Rancho Bernardo into La Jolla, and he smiled at me because you go over this one hill and there's the Pacific Ocean, the most beautiful scene you've ever seen in your life. And he looked at me and he said, you know, God must really love you. Look where he's bringing you. And he brought me to a house of a man that's another whole story. We had met months earlier and we exchanged addresses, and I left his address in my Bible, and now we're standing there, and he says, oh, by the way, here's your Bible. You left it with Pastor Paul, and out flew out the address, and his name was on it in the address, and there I am at that house. And his wife had just left him. My wife had just left me, and we were two broken guys, but we were living a block from the beach and a block from a basketball court, and my life began to change. 5 days a week, I was going to Bible study. I had a pastor in my life now, and I was being held accountable, and we began to work. I worked as a waiter at nighttime for the graveyard shift. I played basketball for 3 hours a day, went to the beach, and I was just enjoying my life, working it out, and I was a mess. But this congregation, this beautiful home fellowship, this Bible study in a home where the miracle working power of God was going on and the word of God was being taught, and it was a journey just to get me back to normal. I had a pastor that labored in my life to get it worked out in me. We can do a lot of damage to ourselves along the way. And when Satan is involved wanting to destroy you, he'll use every mechanism available. And I was unsafe for a long time, man. I could have a wild hair and I could be gone. I could be triggered in a second. But my pastor, R. Paul Carroll, he laid his life down for me. He not only pastored me and had me in the home with he and his beloved wife, not only did they spend time with me and counsel me and pray with me, but I became part of a beautiful family of saints. It was the best experience I've ever had in my life. It was so God. And it was so, I felt so privileged to be a part of this family of God because I saw the glory of God in this ministry. And R. Paul Carroll died on December 9th, 1991. He died. And I don't know what happened. All I know is that a day came where it ended for me. No more cravings, no more addictions, no more insanity. I don't know. I got baptized. It was like the eighth time I got baptized, but this time I didn't worry what my hair looked like coming out of the water. Something happened to me. And I was, at this point, 29 years old. I was 29 years old. And 10 months later, my life was starting to look really good. I had a couple of great jobs. I had a painting business. I worked as a waiter at night. I gained custody of my daughter, Danielle, because Pastor Paul went with me to courts in Santa Ana and different places. And he walked me through all the brokenness, and he brought me. And then he died. And a whole church, whole congregation stood there wondering, now what? And there were elders, and there were some pretty amazing people in that congregation at that time, people that had been in law enforcement, and they had been in all kinds of incredible stuff. And long story short, the elders brought me to a place of becoming the pastor. I married my dear friend Patricia, who prophesied to me all those years earlier that God would become a tablet. He would write his word upon the tablets of your heart. Another story altogether, big, huge story. Stories everywhere. But the bottom line, I've been now pastoring for 27 years alongside with Patricia. For 27 years, we have stayed the course. For 27 years, I have stood upon my own feet by the power of God's Spirit. I've been on television, radio. I've been a conference speaker. I've traveled all over this country. And God has given some pretty good gifts. And along the way, I've still made some mistakes. There have been glitches, but they've never been intended. There's never been any gross sin of pornography or fornication or adultery. God has kept it real. He has apprehended my life. And today, when I look out and I see a world that's beginning to defy the Bible, people are saying, your experience with God is your own imagination. I was remembering this morning, you'll never take away from me the Jesus Christ of Nazareth that saved my life. You will never persuade me that the Bible is not real or not right. You will never be able to, because you didn't give it to me. You didn't give it to me. I didn't go to your schools. I didn't go to your classrooms. I didn't go to your seminaries. I didn't go anywhere. You did not give me what I have. What happened to me has stayed with me, and God has been very good, and God is real. And Patricia Joy, how are you this morning, dear lady?
I am doing very well today, and guess what? We have one more day to get it right.
Well, amen to that. Hey, you've been kind of a witness to this journey that I've been talking about today. It's all true, isn't it?
It is all true. I can witness to that. And I can also say this regarding your experience, that only through a relationship with Jesus Christ, by our Heavenly Father, being drawn to Him because of the sacrifice made on the cross, can we find our true destiny and our true purpose. Now, many people will find success in maybe various ways of lifestyles, and they will consider that their way for life. But there is not the destiny, a purpose of what changes this world and one's life to be the most glorious experience. They will still have to deal with certain situations that come against their lives that are difficult to and maybe never overcome. But in Christ Jesus, your purpose is known, is fulfilled, and you become an overcomer. And your life is peaceful, it's successful in that you are totally and completely free, and there's no bondage within you to keep you back. from the beauty in which God has for us. In other words, you become an incredible being.
Amen. And Patricia, as you're talking, I'm just remembering the transformation that took place in my life. And I know that even now, as I'm now 56 years old and will be 57 very soon, that there's further transformations to go. But the transformation that happened in my life in those days, it didn't come cheap. Your ministry of deliverance, the book that you wrote, because you came out of the New Age, you came out of your own testimonial experience, and the things that God gave you to be able to impart unto others, that deliverance ministry was able to get into the inside of me to undo and break the addictions. Whereas with the addictions I had, if I went to a 12-step program, I'd still be today confessing I'm a alcoholic or I'm a drug addict. But the deliverance ministry got in there and broke the generational bloodline curses. My father was cursed with heroin addiction. His father was cursed with alcoholism. There were bloodline curses on our lives, and I've seen that affect the entire bloodline. But your book, The Ministry of Deliverance, prevailed.
Thank you for that, because the truth of the matter is our destiny, the purpose for living, the purpose for being born will not be known or understood in one's life if they do not realize that they entered this world through bloodline curses and bloodline blessings in the DNA. There is a truth to that that is in scripture that many never unfold to understand the depths of this magnificent truth. Once you know it, you're totally understanding what life is and the reason for being. And it is so different than all the psychology in the world, all the New Age concepts and ideas of the world. You have some intellect in all of it, but this is so deep and so incredibly profound that once it's realized, and the power that we have been given through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty, came to earth to pay a price for us, we learn and we begin to understand that we have been embedded, we have been blessed with an incredible power, and that power is God's power. And there's no greater power on the face of this earth.
And the power is the name of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And I've heard a lot of people talk about testimonies, what they are, what they aren't. But I'll tell you, Jesus Christ is my testimony and your testimony. And he is the testimony of many people listening today and around the world. And what is the testimony? That by the blood of the Lamb and by Jesus Christ's work on Calvary, he has set us free. He has delivered us from the power of the devil. And Patricia, don't you feel like right now, after all these years of labor, 37 years since the day that Christ came into my heart, that we're just now basically almost ready to really go out and live the destiny that God has created for us.
And that would include miracles, by the way. That's how powerful it is. It's just not being successful in your attitude and ways and maybe your life, your life being very, very fulfilled in various areas that you studied. This has to do with deeper things. This has to do with the depths of spirit. This has to do with success of even bringing forth miracles on this planet, and not false ones, but true ones that change people's lives in an instant, deliver them from cancer, raising even the dead if necessary. These things have not been understood. And it's time that God is bringing it forward, as he did in the beginning 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ. He is now bringing it through his body, those who believe him.
Well, amen to that. And I'm looking at the word testimony. Here's what the word testimony in Revelation 12 means. It's the martyria. And that word simply means evidence given. I am wanting to present the evidence to anybody that has an ear to hear that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not a political figure, that he is not a religious figure, that Jesus Christ was a man that walked on this earth in Jerusalem, Israel, and throughout Israel, and that laid his life down to be crucified upon a cross to be the only atoning sacrifice that would appease the wrath of God, and that all who believe in him, he sends the spirit of his sonship into our hearts wherein we cry, Abba, Father. I'm here to testify. I'm here to bear witness. I'm here to give evidence that what has happened in my life is a miracle of Jesus Christ, miracle of God. And I think I want everyone to know, because Patricia, people go and they serve the Lord. They get involved in groups and discipleship programs, and they enter into all these clubs and denominations and fellowships. And that's fine, maybe for them. But I believe there needs to be a supernatural union of intimacy between the individual and Jesus Christ to really, you know, keep them in the day when everything is going to try to pull them away from the faith. And I learned in the Bible that in the last days, many are going to fall away from the faith. And if you don't have a personal experience with God, what's going to keep you? Your mental power? No. It is, you must have the intimacy, a union with Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you that it's real.
It's so real. And it's not just gathering together in a Bible study and Christians loving one another. That's a great part of it. And that brings a lot of peace to one's heart. But it's above and beyond that. It is the power to overcome, because it already has been overcome by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are in him. He is in us. This is a true spiritual fact, that there is the power to overcome the sin nature, the world and its ways, and the devil. And this is what most do never experience in their life. They are still in bondage to many things, their sin nature, the devil, and the world's ways, in which we must overcome and come out from them if we are going to be the people that we are claiming to be, the remnant of God's hand. And you know, there are scriptures that have been written that have to do with this very time we're in. One of them is, and I love it, I really love it, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, no, nor his descendants begging for bread. How wonderful that is, that in the times we're in. Another scripture, and Jesus Christ proclaimed that sustenance is guaranteed for those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Again, how wonderful is that for those who love him and keep his commandments in the times we're in the times we're going to face, in the times we're going to go through, to have this guarantee.
Well, amen to that. That's very powerful. And I'm just thinking right now, the people that are out there listening, what you need to be right now is encouraged. And you need to know that whatever you're going through right now, that the God of love and the God of grace and the God of mercy and forgiveness that met you at the beginning when you were a sinner, when you were hostile against God, he broke through and proved his love and demonstrated his power in your life. And you need to know right now it's time to put your shoulders back, lift up your head, give a shout into heaven and tell all those condemning demons, you have no power over my life. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord. And I will declare that the day will come that the righteousness of God will cover the earth and the glory of the Lord like the oceans that cover the earth today.
Oh, praise God. You know, God meets the physical needs of those who seek first, more than anything else, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we cannot claim God's blessings if we fail to build a physical relationship with Jesus Christ, or if we choose a life of sin and rebellion over a life of faithfulness. And you may say, I'm not a sinner. Those who do not believe are sinners. You are a sinner if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You are already under condemnation, and it will remain that way to your death unless you get on your knees, confess Him as Lord, because believe me, we have learned it's true.
Amen. And the devil comes to accuse the saints of God, and he will continue to do it every day of your life until this happens, and they overcame him. By the blood of the Lamb. How do you overcome by the blood of the Lamb? Well, before we go on and answer that question, let's look at the word overcame. It means the Nikeo. And I like this definition of Christians that hold fast their faith even unto death against the power of their foes and temptations and persecutions. It also means to carry off the victory, come off victorious. It means to subdue, to conquer, to prevail, and get the victory. Now, how does that work? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Why? The blood of the Lamb is the testimony. The blood of the Lamb is what speaks against the accuser. The blood of the Lamb speaks redemption. The blood of the Lamb speaks forgiveness. The blood of the Lamb speaks atonement. The blood of the Lamb speaks mercy. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, we are justified. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Hallelujah. Patricia, I mean, come on, this is elementary basic stuff, but today God's people need to be refreshed. They need to be reinvigorated. They need to be revived. They need to rise up, unshackle themselves from everything that is religious, and get up and start praising Jesus for the masterful, worshipful King that He really is.
And that's for eternity. The glory is for eternity. And we talked about what that really is the other day, that once you're in that realm of the kingdom of God, it's beyond what you could explain. It's beyond our imagination of peace, joy, happiness, no tears, no concerns, no worries, nothing that would bother the mind. But in Matthew 24:36, it says, but times of great, and this is the hard part, famine are coming. Hardly anything around and about, including a time of famine of hearing the word of God. You won't be able to hear it anymore. Your ears are going to be deaf to it because of all the concerns and worries that you'll find yourself involved in. But the wise are cautious and avoid danger. They do not ignore global warning signs and the clear words of Scripture. The clear words of Scripture, which were given to you right now. But fools plunge ahead with great confidence that it's going to be all right. But in Scripture, we walk and overcome everything.
Wow. Yeah. So what you're saying is that the purpose of a word of encouragement by the Holy Spirit today is to everyone out there that has a personal, intimate walk with Jesus. All may go, but I will follow is your love song. And that we know that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of what they see coming on the earth. We know that a majority of believers are going to give up their faith and they're going to apostatize. We know that many are going to be deceived and say, Lord, Lord. We know that the love of many will wax cold. We know that those who once walked in fellowship will betray one another and hate one another. Why? Because they don't have the testimony written in their hearts and they're not standing within the blood of Christ in the covenant and standing true. I'm telling you today that there is a new heaven and a new earth that is going to come. I'm telling you that this entire planet is going to go under a renovation, brand new, where the righteousness of God is going to be here. Jesus is going to set up His kingdom. And I'm telling you, we're getting glorified bodies that are never going to die. They're never going to get sick. I'm telling you, there's eternal life in heaven with bliss like we've never known before. And it's all real. But the devil wants to steal it. He wants to make people that have tried to do this mentally, through mental ascent, by going to school and going to be part of clubs or churches, you know, and that's where your strength has been. No, that's going to be stripped away. The only thing that's going to remain is your personal intimacy and experience with Jesus Christ. And you have to keep that even at the sword. Even at the edge of a sword, you must keep that because you know it. It's not something you're going to force yourself to do. Many people are going to take the mark of the beast because they don't have the intimacy. But you do. And if you don't, it's time to go and ask. It was that simple for me. 37 years ago, they said, ask. And I went to God with a sincere heart and I said, please, if this is real, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a desperate man. He changed my life.
You know, in Matthew 24:13, Vincent, you heard me say this so many times, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And at the end of this age, there will endure a faithful body preserving and preaching the good news of the soon coming kingdom of God and warning the world to repent of sin. That's what we're doing right now.
Patricia, we are his witnesses. Brothers, sisters that are out there today, we are the true witnesses if we have a true experience with Christ. If we have been genuinely sealed by the Holy Spirit after we have genuinely received the grace of God. I am not saying if you don't have an experience with God that you don't have a relationship with him. I'm not saying that. Your relationship could be totally by faith without any supernatural signs or wonders, but that relationship, your faith would make it all very real. So keep your faith, grow in the faith, and remember, we are his witnesses on the earth. We don't belong to an organization called Jehovah's Witnesses, but we are Jehovah's Witnesses. We are the witnesses of Christ. And we are going to shine. We're going to give testimony. We're going to give evidence that Christ has changed our lives.
You know, Revelation 3:10, Vincent, it says, these are those whom Christ proclaims have kept my command to preserve. So he will then keep them from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world. That is the wrath.
Amen.
That's going to be just thrown out there.
Yeah, the hour of temptation that will come upon the whole world. Patricia, we've got 3 minutes left in the broadcast. Boy, did that fly by. I just woke up this morning, and my testimony, I was singing in the kitchen while making the coffee what God had done in my life. It's like the Holy Spirit just reminded me. And I think it's extremely important for everyone out there to be reminded.
It sure is. This is the time, folks. Come on, let's move mightily in the truth of God's word. And instead of nurturing ourselves in sin, you know, and carnal pursuits like this is going to make me feel better, we should prepare for the coming days of famine by preserving and enduring in righteousness, expectantly waiting for Christ's return. We should be more diligent and we should feed on the word of God. This is so important for the time we're in. Feed on the word of God and his promises.
That is so real, Patricia. Feed my flock. That was the word coming into 2019. And we know that there is a prophecy that has already begun to be fulfilled in Amos chapter 8. We know that the environment around us is going to change. We are now in the midst of the summer of violence. We're going to see what the days ahead will bring. Many dead bodies in many different places. We've already seen it in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. We're going to see this go on around and about us until we get to that place where something beyond our ability to comprehend at this moment is going to happen in this world. It's going to change. The earth is groaning and travailing. She's about to shake like we have never seen a shaking. It's going to be global, most likely, and you need to be ready for the change. But so get this testimony deeply rooted in your heart that if your pastor doesn't go with you, you're still going, because your relationship with God is not based upon your relationship with your pastor. It's based upon your relationship with the King of Glory, Jesus Christ. But I hope that you are with people that are working in this direction. Patricia, your final words before we go.
Yes, be with people that are working in this direction. Be increased in daily Bible studies and fervent prayer. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And if we become truly repentant, zealous for the truth, and seek spiritual nourishment now, then God promises us blessings in times of famine and eternal life in his kingdom. It's worthy.
Patricia, I want to say thank you to you because God used you mightily in my life through your book and through your life to bring Christ to me. You brought a testimony and a witness. Your life is a witness, and it has been to me, and I'm so glad that God gave you to me. And the deliverance book, that deliverance roundtable discussion is going to be taking place right now over at omegaradio.org. I'm telling you, the wisdom of God that comes out in those meetings is absolutely amazing. If you're struggling today inwardly, you need help, listen to that. Give us a call. We'll get you a book. We'll pray with you. We'll do whatever we can. We ask for your prayers as we're ready to take a couple-hour journey down to meet a man that's been in the hospital. His name is Bob. Please pray for a miracle as Pastor Ken and I head down
miracle,
there.
The time is now.
A miracle. All right, we're going to say goodbye for now. Get over to Omega Radio, if you will, and listen to this roundtable discussion. Xavier, Patricia Joy, we'll see you tomorrow right here on the Omega Radio Network, and we are The Watchmen.